right, welcome in everyone here, of course, Red Sox Beat on CLNS Media, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for your Boston Red Sox. At Red Sox, CLNS is the coverage for the network. Our show is Red Sox Beat on, podcast on Facebook. Search us on iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe, all that good stuff as well. Your Boston Red Sox are in first place still, tied relatively with the Yankees. Technically, they are in first, but hey, I'll say tied because it sounds better for us. Kind of a disappointing week, just, of course, alongside me here, Jared. Just not the week we thought it'd be. Looking at the schedule, it seems like the Oakland A's just kind of have their number. And they, for some reason, they only play well against the Red Sox. But overall, not a terrible week.
Yeah, no, it's not awful. And taking 3 out of 4 from the Orioles obviously bumps up your week. You know, they finish 4-3, which isn't bad. It's better. It's worse than you would have expected. I mean, we were thinking at least 5-2, 5-2, 6-1. But, I mean, I said they went 3 out of 4 against the Orioles. They did that. It's just those pesky A's. I don't know what it is. They're the only team with a winning record against the Red Sox. They're 4-2 against the Sox, and obviously now we're done with them for the regular season. But, I mean, for some reason, they just, you know, we can't seem to beat Sean Manaea, and we only won 2 out of 6 games, which is pretty bad.
That
so.
Blows my mind that we're done with them already. Like,
I know.
It's like, it's only May.
Hey, when do we ever play the A's 2 different series? It's by middle of May.
I know,
right?
It's crazy. I'm okay with it because they can't seem to beat them. So
right. And you get them out of the way.
I can't imagine you're going to have to play them again because they probably won't make the playoffs. So I think you're good there. But I think the two biggest stories this week, Carson Smith's situation and Swihart. So let's start there with Carson Smith. He has shoulder subluxation?
Yeah.
However you want to say it. I don't even know. But he's probably done. They're fearing that it's major. He's technically on, what, the 10-day DL right now. That's concerning to me in a way that obviously it is, but like, this guy is a free agent after this year. He could be done in a Red Sox uniform before he's really done anything.
Yeah, if he's done, that's the most pathetic Red Sox career ever, which is a huge shame after the great numbers he put up in his last year in Seattle. But then obviously at Tommy John, pitched a couple games, and then missed all of last season, and you know, pitched the last month, and he was good, but only pitched a month. And now here he comes this year, and he's terrible in his first couple outings, and then he gets a little bit better, and then this. So, I mean, it's, the whole thing's very weird because you have Smith throwing down his glove in frustration. All of a sudden, that turns into shoulder subluxation, which turns into him whining about how he's pitching too much and his arm's fatigued, which turns into Cora saying, that's not true. We check with all our pitchers. He never said anything. So if his arm's sore, that's on him. And that was that.
Well, I will say that's one thing that I love about the situation is that Alex Cora, like, fought back at. Like, right. Carson Smith said, oh, it must have been fatigue. Like, I've been pitching a lot, blah, blah, blah. And then Cora's like, not at all. Like, in what world would John Farrell have ever said that? Just, I hate to go back to it, but like, would he have ever, he would never have said, no, that's wrong.
Well, the thing about Cora is he's honest, and, you know, it's never a good look to, like, quote unquote, call out your players. I don't really necessarily feel like that's what this was, because he was just asked
what he thought about it. Smith was kind of calling out his manager more than anything.
Right. He was blaming the team for him being an idiot and throwing his glove, and Cora's just like, no. So, I don't like this. I think that's better taken care of under closed doors, but I get why he did it, because Smith, like, called him out at the same time, and he obviously thought that was bullcrap, and he said he was going to talk to him about it. I don't know if he ever did. I mean, Smith didn't comment on what Cora said, so I don't know if it's going to go anywhere else, or if it's just ends here, or maybe they talked behind closed doors, and that ended it, but I do like the honesty from Cora, and I know it's from a fan's perspective, which most people listening to the show are, it's nice and refreshing to hear a manager just kind of say, like, that's not true. That's not what happened.
Yeah, because most managers, and including John Farrell, would be, you know, I mean, we're handling it. We'll take care of it. And, you know, we might think that. That's fine. You know, we kind of monitor our players and we have it under control and, like, just kind of let it go. But, like, I respect the fact that Corey knows he's in this market. He goes out, like, he has a player call him out. He's going to go, no, we check with our players all the time. And if Carson really wasn't healthy or didn't think he was, like, we check with them all the time. And there was and he even said, he was like, yeah, there was a time last week that we asked him if he was good to go. He said he was tired, so we didn't pitch him. And the eighth inning went with somebody else. So he's like, we ask them all the time because we don't want that to happen. So if he was tired, that's news to us because we ask them all the time.
It's smart on Cora's part, too, because, like, if he gave the John Farrell line, We'll figure it out, and we'll talk internally. Then everyone's just like looking for answers. They're just like, so is his arm fatigued? Did they overpitch him? Like it just leads to like endless questions where we're just wondering what the heck's going on instead of being like, oh, this happened. This is what's going on. No
Exactly.
questions. We have no questions now. We know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, so that's what I love about it. And it's a weird situation because, like, if it's really shoulder fatigue, how much can shoulder fatigue cause this kind of injury just by throwing a glove? Like, how hard did he throw the glove? Like, that's what gets me is that, like,
How messed up is your arm in the first
yeah, that's what gets me
place?
is, like, throwing a glove is just like throwing one more pitch. So
Yeah.
is it really like that kind of incident can cause something unless he was that sore and tired and didn't say anything? At that point, it goes back to Carson Smith.
Would he have subluxed his shoulder on the next pitch or two he threw? Was it that bad?
Yeah, like if
Right,
he stayed in, was he going to do it on the mound?
Right? That's what I'm wondering. Like, what? I mean, yes, I know throwing a glove's different than throwing a baseball, but you throw a baseball a lot faster. So, what, if you're throwing a glove against like a seat that or like a wall, how does that do that?
Yeah.
It makes zero sense. And after having Tommy John and going through all that and strengthening your arm back up and taking forever to come back. Just to have this happen, I know it was his elbow and this is his shoulder, but like, dude, what's wrong with your arm?
So what's my canal question is, like, what does this do from here? One, does Carson Smith pitch in a Red Sox uniform again? We don't know until we really know how long he's gonna supposed to be out. Like, if they say it's major and there's a longer timetable, then he's gone. Like, he's done. It's gonna be a long issue. It's gonna linger like the other thing did. Obviously, it was Tommy John, but like, he's done. Now, if it's day to day, then you'll get to see him again. But what does he come back as? Is his shoulder too fatigued to pitch the rest of the year? A lot's gonna tell us when they finally let us know what's going on. But like, I'm really intrigued of what the next steps are with this because he hasn't been great. He hasn't been that lockdown Ethan, the guy we want him to be. And now you're hoping that's what Thornburg is when he comes back. But like, he hasn't been terrible either. And the bullpen does need some help, so it would be a loss.
Yeah, I mean, he really could have made a huge difference. Obviously, that's what they brought him here for. But I have a few questions. One, is this guy fit for Boston? Because saying the things he said kind of makes it seem like he's not. Like,
True.
you're really gonna start blaming your team and your manager? So that's my first question for him. My second question is, or statement really, is I'd say if he's out for more than 3 months, then he's never gonna pitch here again because they're just gonna be like, all right, screw you. But if it's like a, 2 to 4 week thing, 2 weeks to a month or so, even a month and a half, I think he will pitch here again. But will he pitch good? I hope this would be motivation to pitch well for him. But if his arm really is that messed up, how effective will he be? It'd be sad. I mean, he had so much potential. I'd hate for him to not pitch here again. Like, that would be such a bust. Like, what do you pitch, like 15 games in your Red Sox career? So I hope for his sake, and I hope for the Red Sox sake, if he can be healthy, I think he's a valuable piece. But if he's going to be out for like 4 months, forget it.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, like, it's crazy because you trade Wade Miley, right, for this guy and think that's a good deal, right? You don't need Wade Miley.
Yeah.
You get a guy who can be your eighth inning guy. Okay, he's hurt, whatever, he'll come back, he'll be fine. But now it's like, I'd rather Wade Miley back in this. You know what I mean? Like, keep Wade Miley.
He
Like,
was at least like consistent and
and
pitched a lot of
played.
games,
Like,
and he
he
got
ate
some wins.
innings. Like, that's the
Yeah.
thing, is like, this guy, Carson Smith, now is like, okay, nah, I'm over it. Don't, if you're gonna
Not
play,
even a
play. If
thing.
not, you're done.
Yeah. Wade Miley 8 innings. Carson Smith isn't eating anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, to this point in their careers, even though Miley's was a short one with the Red Sox, Miley's had a better Red Sox career than Smith has, which is pretty sad, but it's
Yeah.
true.
Ugh, I don't know. Well, obviously, we don't really know where this one's going to go until we get the diagnosis completely. We haven't been told that yet. So, in terms of like timetable, when's his 10-day DL up?
I think he was placed on it like 2 or 3 days ago. Still pretty recent.
Okay, so
Maybe four, three or four days ago.
we'll know sooner rather than later what's going on. Because if
Yeah, he's getting a second opinion on his labrum next week. So it sounds like we should know next week if it's going to be a 2 week or a 6 month thing.
so we can complain more about Carson Smith on next week's show.
Yeah.
Other big news this week was Blake Swihart, his agent, reached out to the team and basically asked them for a trade. Dombrowski kept saying stuff about like him being protection for a third catcher, blah blah blah. But basically, his agent said, "Yes, we've had conversations with the team, and they're aware of how we feel. Blake's in a very, really difficult situation. We've got a switch hitter, offensive impact player, and his bat deserves a chance to be in the lineup. He's not the type of player that's going to ask or demand for a trade on his own. He's focused on what's in front of him and having happy a position impact on the team and the situation at hand. That being said, I don't think we're building any type of trade value nor helping him progress as a ball player, nor is the team really being served by him in this role. Swihart hasn't really said anything. I think he said back in May or something like or earlier in May that he wasn't going to talk about it. That's his agent's job, blah, blah, blah. And then his agent went on and said, with Dustin Pedroia returning, it seems now that would be the time to make a move with Blake. And then Dombrowski came back and threw email to Evan Drellick. Always listen to the player agent and understand their desire to play. However, do not have a set policy about this. It's a dicey situation, is really what it is. Because you had a guy who was primed to be in the catching situation and then got moved to left field because Sandy Leone was here and having a good year behind Vasquez, so it made sense at the time. Then he got screwed and got hurt where he was playing really well, and then Benintendi got brought up, so now Swihart gets shunned. He's finally back healthy, had a killer spring, that's why he made the roster, and Marrero got shipped out of town, and then now Swihart's not even being used. And the catcher situation here, and I love Vasquez, neither of them are playing well. There's no production at the plate. Defensively, Sandy Leone's been better, and that's shocking, but like, they're not great either way. I'm surprised Swihart hasn't even got a shot behind the plate, but like, if you want to trade him and his agent wants to be traded, what kind of value is there anyway?
I know, because like, what sample size do we have from any recent time period? You know, he's played an inning or here. I think he caught one inning when he came in late in the game a couple days ago. Yep. So he's caught one inning behind the plate and played sparingly otherwise. So, I mean, yeah, he didn't want to say much about it. I did see that after this news came out that his agent wanted to trade him, Swihart basically just said, you know, my agent wants me to play. You know, he wants me to, you know, play at all. Because obviously, like you said, he's barely played, and, you know, that's not really doing anything for him. So his agent just wants him to be able to play for a team. And it's not happening here. So I guess either they got to grant the wish or play him more. And he said he's going to work hard while he's here. I mean, he's not, you know, Swihart's not saying screw the Red Sox, I don't want to be anywhere near here. He's saying, you know, I'm going to play here as long as I'm here. So yeah. I guess we'll just see what they can get for him. But it obviously hasn't happened yet. This news has been out for a couple days, and he's still here. So I don't know if they'll try to get him more playing time to raise his value, to keep him here. But obviously, his agent just wants him to play.
It didn't seem like, and Dombrowski basically went on to say the plan is very much what it is right now. Protection for us at third catcher. Really, I know people keep writing about that, but reality is your 25th player usually doesn't play much. It's more of an unfortunate situation because a lot of times it's a veteran-type player, which is true. A lot of times this last player on the bench is a guy who isn't expecting to play because he's been around the block a few times, and he's there for his leadership as much as he is for his scattered play. Right now, Swihart's a guy who could play on most teams around the league as a first-second catcher or even just like a spot-up utility guy. He's playing the role of a washed-up, or not really washed-up, but like a veteran piece who isn't expecting to play every day anymore as a kid who wants to play every day. And it's unfortunate because he's filling a need where he is an emergency catcher, which, again, surprised he really hasn't gotten a chance here because the catching has been awful. But like, there's been, and now with Pedroia coming back, what do you do? Who's going to be the odd guy out on this roster?
Right, that's got to be the discouraging thing for him, is that, like you said, catching's been garbage, and he's still gotten an inning there.
Like, what's
that's
got to
be
do?
A little... Right, exactly. You know? So, and he's 26 years old now. It's not like he's, like, 21, like, breaking in. Like, he's, you know,
he's
a couple
in.
More years, and he'll be considered, like, old for baseball, basically.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Pedroia's only a few weeks away. It's not like Pedroia is a month or two left. Like, they said June, but, like, he's progressing where he could be back either this week or next. So...
Right, he's been playing several AAA games. So.
Yeah.
So for Swihart, you're already hardly playing, and then another player comes back who they're going to feel required to play because of who he is.
Well, they're going to play Pedroia. So it's
right. Like,
then Nunez gets put on the bench, so then any utility rot is going to be Nunez because now he's going to play anywhere in the infield. You still have the flexibility of Mitch Moreland at first to put JD in the outfield to keep Jackie Bradley off the field, so you still lose Swihart. But the question now is who comes off the roster to make room for Pedroia? Swihart,
right?
Who else? Because you're playing Brock Holt, unless you don't. You know what I mean? Unless you trade Brock Holt,
right. But like they're gonna pick Holt, they're gonna pick Moreland, they're gonna pick
Nunez, obviously.
Nunez.
They're not gonna play Swihart.
Yeah, There really is no place for him.
Yeah, so then at that point, you might have to trade him within the next couple of weeks, because unless you trade Brock Holt, who else is going to be off the roster?
Right. Unless, like, five guys get hurt in, like, a day.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way he's going to play. That's which probably isn't very likely.
No, it's not. What do you think they'll do?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, with his agent asking for a trade, and when Pedroia comes back, I don't see how there's any way they wouldn't be able to trade him within the next couple of weeks. They kind of have to. I don't want them to. I want them to find a place here, and I've said that show after show after show, but at this point, with the agent asking for it and just being realistic looking at the situation, he's not going to play.
No,
he's not going to play here.
Yeah, because they clearly don't want to play him over Vasquez or Sandy Leon, which is insane to me. Like,
that's what they should do.
If they're not playing, let him play some games as a third catcher and see if he wins the job, because Vasquez hasn't earned it. As much as I love the guy, hasn't earned it. Sandy Leon is Sandy Leon, and he's come back to earth compared to what he did last year, obviously. And now, so I heard, has earned a right to at least give it a shot. And if it doesn't work, can't be much worse than what you got right now defensively. So,
right, and they can sit there, and Vasquez and Leon can be like, wow, like, we don't even deserve, like, like, give him something to think about, you know? Like, bench him for a couple of games and be like, wow, neither of us are playing. What are we doing wrong here?
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's a good kind of a slap in the face for them if they would do that, which they haven't yet.
Yeah, I don't know. All I do know is if you do love fantasy baseball, Jess, then you need to try out a new favorite app, which is, of course, Draft. It's daily fantasy baseball, but not like the other guys on Draft. You play live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Drafts last for just one night, and once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire, just set it and forget it. And the best part, of course, you're playing for cold, hard cash, and you get paid on the next day. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for literally everybody. Jess and I, obviously, we both use Draft. We love it. I haven't done it this week because I've been busy, admittedly, but, you know, it is the ease of use. It is that kind of flexibility you have, plus the drafts don't take long. It's not like you're doing a season-long fantasy league, Jess, and the drafts are like an hour and a half, 2 hours. It takes about 5 minutes, and you have a roster ready to go, and it still changes every night, which is the benefit of it.
Yeah, 5 minutes is being over... You know, over the time, it really takes like two or three.
It does, yeah, it really doesn't take 5 minutes. I'm being nice, too. Yeah, it really won't take
unless you have a six-person league, really. I mean, anything less than that, it's going to take like 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
and most of the leagues have two, three people in it. You pick, there's no mismatching, and it works.
Right, exactly. And it's great, because like, if you want someone like Blake Swihart, who never plays, if there's a day he's actually in the lineup, you can pick him that one day, and then not care about any of the rest of the time where he never plays.
Exactly.
You can pick anybody.
Yeah, it's great.
That's what's great about it.
And it's not like the other ones where you have multiple players, right? If you get him, he's off the board. Multiple people can't have David Price. Multiple people can't have Chris Sale when he's pitching. It doesn't wash out. You draft him, that's it. He's on the roster. So you want to join us on Draft Dude today, just search Draft in your app store or play right from your computer at draft.com. And for a limited time only, all Red Sox Beat listeners get a free entry into a real money baseball draft when you make your first deposit. So, but you have to use our promo code REDSOXBEAT. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using the promo code REDSOXBEAT when you make your first deposit. Search Draft again in your app store or go to draft.com and enter that promo code, which again, one more time, is REDSOXBEAT. Obviously, Blake Swihart is news, and I guarantee you he won't be on this team much longer, even if it happens right before Pedroia comes back, which is sooner rather than later. There really is no place for him. It seems like the team has pretty much given up on the guy, especially with Dombrowski comments, right? It's an unfortunate situation. He's the 25th man on the roster. You're telling somebody that you're that guy. There's no going up from that. So one guy that is going up is Andrew Benintendi, man. He is hitting the crap out of the ball, and it's making me feel better about him being your everyday left fielder / center fielder because Jackie Bradley sucks. But quickly, Benintendi is finally becoming the player we're expecting him to be after a slow start.
Yeah, well, it's nice because, you know, we've been talking week after week about how he's not getting hits, he's not getting home runs, but he was getting on base. He was, you know, he led the team in walks for the first 3 weeks of the season when he wasn't doing anything. And now, all of a sudden, he's gone from about 250 to 285, and he's hit two home runs in the last 2 days. He hit three home runs this week. He's up to five, so he's really figured it out. 29 RBI is very solid, so he's making the most of his opportunities. He's had RBIs in four straight games. It's seven RBIs in the last four games, so he really, against Baltimore, he really brought it. So having his bat in the lineup, along with the terrors that are Mookie Betts and JD Martinez, I mean, it's scary enough with those two guys. When you have Benintendi in the mix, getting, you know, homers every game, then holy crap, this team's dangerous.
Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, tie for the league lead in homers. God, we would have loved to have that last year, right? Mookie Betts having an MVP year. J.D. Martinez is really sliding under the radar. Can I tell you that, too? Because everyone's talking about Price, obviously, which, again, he pitched well. That one pitch in the end of the game against the Orioles, who are a terrible, terrible team. But Price looked good in that outing. But J.D. Martinez is just sliding under the radar, Jess, and he's having a really good year. Like I said, leading the league in homers, tied up Mookie Betts. Betts leads basically every single offensive category there is. Those two guys alone, never mind Hanley, who's having a pretty good year, Benintendi heating up in the top of the lineup. Now, when Pedroia comes back, Benintendi goes to hitting fifth or sixth. Like, this lineup, when Pedroia comes back, really resets itself. But right now, those two and J.D. Martinez really are just sliding under the radar.
Yeah, I mean, if Mookie wasn't doing what he was doing, then J.D. definitely would be getting more praise. But 343, 15 homers, and 41 RBI, the guy's incredible. He is so consistent. He's got unbelievable power. And obviously, like we said, he's tied with Betts for the league lead in home runs. He's second in RBI by one. Machado is 42. J.D. is 41. So he's in a triple crown. That's what it is. Territory right now, as is Betts. They both are. But J.D.'s even closer with his RBI. So, man, these guys are unbelievable. They're just hitting home runs left and right. It's like nobody's even surprised at this point. And this guy was a huge signing. I remember when we had Tim Neverett on right before the season started, and we were like, is he going to make a big difference? And he's like, yeah, because even if he hits like half the amount of home runs as last year, it's still a huge upgrade. Yep. And he's almost at that already. He's already got 15. You know, he gets seven more home runs. He's already half of last year, and it's not even June yet. So this guy's incredible. And the stat I heard today after the game was that the Sox having two guys with 15-plus home runs in the first 47 games, that hasn't happened since the 2001 Rockies with Todd Helton and Larry Walker, where two guys have had 15-plus homers each through the first 47 games.
They were a studly duo.
Oh, yeah. They were incredible. So, like, this is historic stuff we're seeing. Like, you don't see guys hitting in the 340s, 360s with this many home runs before it even hits June.
No, because so many guys, power home run-wise, are strikeout guys who can't hit. And that was the big thing about J.D. Martinez versus Giancarlo Stanton, right? It was, they're both going to get homers, but Stanton strikes out a lot. J.D. Martinez can actually hit the ball.
Yeah, and his strikeout's gone way down since the first couple weeks, too.
Yeah, so like that was always way the big down. Difference when we were trying to justify not even trying for Giancarlo Stanton was, well, J.D. can hit, too. And it's working, right? That's kind of what you needed in this lineup was a guy who can hit for average but still hit the crap out of the ball. So that's kind of why he works really well in this offense and why they wanted him so badly. And I'm pretty sure that's why they didn't go after Stanton, because they knew this was the guy they needed who can hit for average and hit homers.
Right, those are the players the Sox like for sure. And here, let's do a little number comparison while we're here because it's fun and it's May 20th and
we're enjoying it. Because it'll only change in like 2 months, so.
You're right. J.D. 343. Giancarlo Stanton, 263. He's 80 points ahead of him.
Yeah, you knew that was coming. That one's more obvious.
15 homers for J.D., 11 for Stanton, and 41 RBI for Martinez, 27 for Stanton. And Stanton has 60 strikeouts to J.D.'s 50, so he's got 10 more strikeouts already with his 80 points less of average. And J.D. has 60 hits and 31 runs. Stanton has 45 hits, 15 less, and 32 runs. So the only stat that Stanton is beating J.D. is with one more run, and that's it.
That's it.
So I'd say that J.D. is thoroughly whooping him in almost every single category.
Yeah,
and that's beautiful.
And that's the pure hitterness of it. Like, he has worked hard to get to the point where he's a pure hitter. Most of his home runs have been coming opposite field. Like, J.D. Martinez has more power oppo than he does over the monster.
He's got to be one of the strongest guys in the league with his power. I mean,
and it's so smooth. And that's I think it'll come more to attention once the Celtics are done, because once that series is over or whenever their run's over, then you have all the attention. It'll be at that point where like everything else is in break. The next big thing to happen is like Patriots training camp, which is until end of July. So you'll get to the point where now it becomes, hey, it's all Red Sox all the time in this city, and that's where the microscope really turns on a little bit more. So again, we'll see how some players work with that too. Because right
you
now,
you know, he's loving it though, because he's the he's an under the radar guy in the first place, Martinez.
Oh, so, like, he's like Al Horford.
He's loving this.
He's like, he's definitely like Al Horford. He's that kind of player. So the more other players like Mookie Betts and the young core of this team could take the spotlight off of him. He likes coming up in big spots. He likes the challenge, but he doesn't want the spotlight. And that's kind of what's working right now. And if Mookie Betts keeps doing this, Xander Bogaerts keeps playing the way he's playing, Hanley's always going to take spotlight because of the personality side of things. It works out well. It really does. So that whole mantra, you know, you bring Pedroia back in a couple weeks. Pedroia probably comes right back and hits second. I can't imagine they'd put him anywhere else.
I don't know about that. I've heard a lot of people thinking he'll hit like 6th or 7th and just leave the top of the order how it is.
I wouldn't hate it. Like, I'm not saying putting him 2nd is the right thing to do, but like, they might just do it. And then if you have Pedroia hitting 2nd, that makes Benintendi hitting 6th, even if not 7th, depending on where you put Devers, because you're not going to move Xander down. So this lineup is getting really deep just by putting Pedroia back in the lineup.
I think they're going to keep him towards the bottom. I think that they're going to say, like, you know, you're not getting demoted because you were hurt, but look what our offense has done without you, and look, like, how many good hitters we have at the top of the lineup.
If you come in and smoke it, we might put you in number 2, but like,
right?
You got.
I wouldn't mess with it. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to hit him 6th. Honestly, I think they're going to hit him 6th.
I would do it. I wish they will do it. I really don't think they will, only because it's Pedroia. I think Pedroia is like a rare exception, but at the same time, if there's one guy that could tell him we're doing this, it'd be Alex Cora. I mean, they played together. Like, yes. They have that relationship, so I think that would figure itself into it. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back and hitting 2nd. It's good old Dusty Pedroia. But either way, him coming back, just one, your defense gets tremendously better because Nunez is not Pedroia on the field. And two, then you put Nunez on the bench, which puts you in heaven anywhere else, because if Devers is having a tough game, or once you want to say Devers, now you have Nunez at bat there, or at short, if you want to give Pedroia some days off to ease him back into it, you have Nunez there.
Right.
Pedroia coming back and Thornburg are two additions that people are going to like really realize and go, oh, you're kind of adding really good players a couple months into the season.
For nothing, right? And it's huge for both of them, especially Pedroia, because like, I think him missing a couple months, he's going to be so fresh. You know, it's going to be like the first game of the season for him, like on the 1st of June.
You have
so
the best record in baseball. You're tied for the best record in baseball. You were the first team with 30 wins without Dustin Pedroia or Tyler Thornburg.
You're still the only team with 30 wins. Nobody else has 30 yet.
Don't the Yankees have 30?
Don't they have 29?
They won today. I thought they were
30. Is that their 30th? Hold on. We'll confirm in 2 seconds.
I'm clicking on their name right now. 30.
Me too.
Today was 30.
They hit 30?
Yep.
See, when I was preparing earlier, they still had 29. They hadn't won yet. Yeah, so 30. Okay. All right, so earlier in the day, they didn't have 30. And the Sox have had it for a couple days. So,
but they were the first team with 30, one of two teams. They have the best record, one of the best records in baseball, without one of their best players.
Yeah, that's hard to believe, isn't it?
So, I mean, it goes to show that start they had was tremendous, tremendously playing in this. But
that's what I said. I said, you go 17-2, you can be average as crap for months on end and still be the best team in the league.
And that's what, I mean, look what Houston did. Last year, and even the year before that, Houston had those month and a half runs, and it was pretty much 500 baseball the rest of the way. But it was fine. As long as you go on a run, you're good. And they did that to start the year.
Because they were the best team by like 10 games by June. So they just cruised the whole rest of the way, and they just were so heads over everybody else. That they just took it right to the World Series. So
yeah, seriously.
But yeah, this will be good. It'll be good having a fresh Pedroia, and you can, as you said, slot him in 2 or slot him in 6 or 7 and just have an insanely good lineup.
Before we get to predictions, and obviously we'll probably have more of Pedroia timetable next week, because it seems like this week's going to be pretty important to understanding when he's coming back, and that'll influence the Blake Swihart thing. So the next week will be a big show in terms of like timetables and things like that. So definitely hit that subscribe button on iTunes so you can get it automatically on Monday morning at 5 a.m. when I have this thing scheduled to be released. Not really big news. There wasn't much big stuff around the league, but the Braves did release Bautista, and that's what just weird to me out because he was actually doing okay. They called him up, hit a ding dong. Braves released Bautista, and that, like, look where his career's fallen to. This guy wanted money. He wanted to get paid, and I think he was just in Toronto one too many years, is really what it was. Jose Bautista stayed when Edwin Encarnacion left, and it did it to him, because now he might not even get picked up, Jess. Like, this is what gets me, is this guy was a fan favorite. I think they all still love him in Toronto, but, like, he is now a guy who's, I don't even know how old he is, but he's in his high 30s. It's
37.
He's 37 years old, What's gone on with him? What, is he going to even get picked up by another team?
I don't think so. I think this is it for him. I mean, he got signed by the Braves. He had 2 home runs, but he went 5 for 35 for a 143 average. And he can barely play the field anymore at all. So they said, see ya. Yeah, I think his career is over. I mean, I don't want to say something that could be untrue, but he's a classic example of steroids, isn't he?
He really is.
I mean, look at his career. He did nothing for, like, you know, he was like a 10 to 15 home run hitter for the first, like, 4, 5, 6 years of his career. And then all of a sudden he goes from 13 in 2009 to 54 in 2010. And then he slowly, you know, 54, 43, 27, 28, 35, 40, 22, 23. Like, that's a big drop off. That just screams steroids to me. And he did it in, like, his, you know, low to mid 30s. So, like, you know, it seems like a classic steroids swing of numbers to me. Could be wrong. Hope I'm wrong. I mean, I don't want anyone to do that.
I believe it. Like, it definitely makes sense. And now look how much he's dropped off.
Right.
I do agree. I don't think he's going to get picked up. I think his shot to remake himself was the Braves taking a chance. See what he had. I mean, the Braves are a good team this year. Like,
sure.
Like, which is also crazy because the Braves and the Phillies are leading that division, leading the charge. But, like, this guy, that was it. Like, that was the shot. I'm like, oh, good. He got picked up by the Braves. Let's see what happens. Nothing. Absolute nothing. Probably one of the more overrated players in baseball. Like,
well, that's the thing. Like, even though he still hit a couple home runs, you know, in the low 20s the last couple of years, his average is garbage. 203, 234. I mean, the guy hasn't hit over 250 in the last 4 years. So, like, he can't do anything. All he does is hit home runs, and those are even down from before. So, the last 3 years, he just fell off the face of the earth. So, I think that might be it for Mr. Bautista. If you're 37 years old and you can't even stick around with a team, then you're probably not going very far.
No, definitely not. So, which is unfortunate because I do like his presence in the league is definitely felt when he's in the league. But
yeah,
I think his peak was when he had that bad flip with Toronto in the playoffs. That was Bautista's peak. Maybe with steroids, who knows? But before we get out of here, let's predict the week here, Jess. And it's a week where you see you're off the road for a little bit, and then you're coming home to play those pesky Braves as well. So it's really that I'm intrigued for that series. But first, you have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday's an off day. 3 in Tampa against the wonderful Rays in the best stadium in the league.
Yes.
Best stadium ever. God, I can't even say it with a straight face. Chris Sale goes game 1, David Price goes game 2, and Drury Pomeranz goes game 3. Jess, what do you got going on against Tampa?
You know what? Sweep. Going sweep. Going into the trough, the greatest stadium in the world, getting the sweep. Sale and Price feel pretty good about those. Pomeranz not so much, but he's got to figure it out at some point, so maybe this is the week he figures it out. I think the Sox continue to beat up on AL East opponents after taking 3 out of 4 from the Orioles. So I'm going to go out on a crazy limb and say sweep.
I'm not going to talk about it. Exactly the same thing for me. They're just not good, and you have your 2 best pitchers going in this series, so you're going to win at least 2 just for that sake. And then
they're not terrible, but
they're not terrible.
They're not good.
They're not good, and you're going to win 2 games by default, I think, just by who you're pitching. So I'm going sweep there too. Then you have 3 against the Braves. Just here, I'm saying you're going to win 2 out of 3 because you do have Sale coming around on the back end. He's pitching twice this week, so that's good for your overallness. But at the same time, you do have Rick Porcello going, who has been really good. And then Erod is your middle guy, and he's figured it out. Like, Erod's been looking pretty good, too. So you have Porcello, yeah. Erod, and Sale going in this series. Now, you have other guys going for it. Like, the Braves have Newcomb, Teheran. I don't even know. How do you say that dude's last name?
Who is it?
Starts with an F. Fultz.
Oh, Fulte Newicks.
Yeah, I don't want to try it, but they have good guys to counterpunch you, but I just think you're at home, which is a big factor in there as well. You have 2 day games because it's Saturday and Sunday, and then you roll into Memorial Day, as this is Memorial Day weekend coming up. But I say 2 out of 3 against the Braves.
I'm gonna say lose 2 out of 3. The Braves have actually played much better on the road than at home, believe it or not. They're 17-8 on the road, and I like numbers, so I'm going to say lose 2 out of 3 after you sweep the Rays, so that's a 4-2 week, but it would be fun. I mean, that would be a good series to see what they're all about. If nobody's aware, here today on record date on Sunday, the Braves scored 6 runs in the 9th inning off the Marlins to to win 10-9. So they had a pretty exciting day. Obviously, the most exciting day game of the day. You know, just when you score 6 runs in the ninth inning to win, that's a big deal. So they're riding high. They're hot. They're the best team in their division. So, you know, 28-17, they're almost as good as the Sox. So,
yep,
that'll be fun. I look forward to it.
That'll be a fun series, and then you're coming up on that first Houston series of the year, wrapped in June, so that you're coming up on that in Houston. First Sunday night baseball game, too, for the Red Sox, is that series. So, we'll be finally getting some primetime action. But it's nice to see the Braves actually good. Braves should be good. The Braves are not a team that should be in last place. I like seeing the Braves relevant.
When it's unexpected like this.
Yeah, like them and the Phillies both. Like Gabe Kapler.
I know. Gabe Kapler.
Doing pretty well after that little hiccup at the beginning of the year. He's been doing well. He's got a good group, and he's apparently sending something right in the clubhouse, pushing the right buttons. So, he's got a young team. I think that's part of it too. I think the youngness of that team is really kind of putting blinders on to what they're really doing.
A lot of first year managers having success this year. Cora, Boone, Kapler.
Oh,
yeah, that's good stuff.
Bit Boone. Ugh. He's not good. He just got inherited. He inherited a team.
Hey, they still have a good record. Needs their manager.
They do. So. They do. It's a shame, though. Giardi kind of got screwed in that situation. But either way, it's fine. It's the Yankees. So I really don't care too much. All right, we'll leave it there. Don't forget, at Red Sox CLNS on Twitter, on iTunes, you rate, review, and subscribe to the Red Sox Beat podcast. Amazingness. Next week's going to be a big show with timelines. So definitely subscribe there as well. Don't forget our good friends at Draft as well. That is Jess Thomas on that side. I'm Jared Scalley on this side. We'll be back next week. Red Sox Beat here on CLNS Media.